Father, we worship you tonight. We thank you that because of the covenant that we have with you, we are bound to you. But Lord, as we come into agreement with the terms of the covenant and with the terms of your word, we are bound to you. And Lord, as we are bound to you, as we are in agreement with you, we thank you that our lifestyle binds or loosens situations and people because of our alliance with you. And so tonight, Lord, as I continue sharing about the truth about binding and loosing, I thank you that you expound your word to us by your Spirit. I thank you that revelation flows tonight. Lord, you said that your church is built on the rock of revelation, revelation of your word. And so tonight we receive that. We thank you for that flow. We thank you for your anointing. Spirit of God, we thank you that you are present here and that you are ministering to each one of us. We thank you, Lord, that it's your presence that brings liberty and freedom and emancipation from bondage in each life present here, but also in each life that we will touch as we go from here. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that you've paid for. We thank you, Lord, that as we know the truth, we will be set free. Because Spirit of God, you are the Spirit of truth, and you teach us the truth. Your word is truth, and we receive your truth tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the last time I started discussing the real truth about binding and loosing, and I think we got the message that it's not so much what we say, the binding and loosing, that binds or looses, as what we ally ourselves to or who we are. And there's been a lot of discussion about being Christ-like and being formed in the image of Christ and for Him to be formed in us and so forth. And that's where the secret is. Because we are the light of the world. And when we walk into a situation, we bring the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world, but He also said that we are the light of the world. So when we bring the presence of Christ into a situation, physically, in other words, where we work, where we do business, where we visit, wherever we go on holiday or whatever it is, or where we travel in the world, where we are, the presence of Christ comes. The presence of the Spirit of God comes. And the manifestation of the Spirit of God on us, not necessarily in the way of powerful signs and wonders, just because of who we are, just because of who we are bound to, who we are in covenant with, brings the presence of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, and emancipation from bondage. And that should first take place within us. So within ourselves, within our own hearts and our soul, we should be bound to Christ. We should be in covenant, but it should be a manifestation. It should be a reality. It shouldn't be something that we just talk about. And remember, we read that scripture about the seven sons of Sceva who went and try to cast the demons out of those people. And the demon said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And they recognized who Paul was allied to or allied with. Our foundation scripture, Matthew 16, and let's just go there again. Let's read from verse 15. Matthew 16 from 15. Remember, Jesus was saying, he was asking, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? And they were saying, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, etc., etc. And then he said to them, who do you, my disciples, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, or men, have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And that's what we're looking for. We are looking to hear from heaven. In the order of God, we are trusting God to hear His voice. My job is not to replace the Father in heaven, but to represent Him, to be a father to you in the earth, and to lead you and guide you, to be a teacher, to be a mentor. But the voice that you hear from me should be the voice that we hear from heaven, that we hear from our Father in heaven. And so, what Jesus is saying here, that revelation by the Spirit of God should come from the throne of God. And that's what we trust in God for. For flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Revelation. That is what we build our lives on. That is what the church is built on. And I tell you, you are Peter, a large piece of rock, or a piece of rock, or a flint, a piece that has been broken off the rock. But on this rock, Petra, you see, Peter is called Petros. That's where we get Afrikaans word Petrus from. But that's not the same as Petra, which is a huge rock like the Rock of Gibraltar. In other words, like a mountain, like Table Mountain in Cape Town. Or the Drakensberg Mountains here in South Africa. On this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it. And in verse 19, straight after when he says, through this rock of revelation will I give you power and authority. Because of revelation, this is how we will build the church. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. In other words, the keys come through revelation. As he speaks to us through the word. As the word becomes life in us, and we manifest the Christ, we manifest him in the earth. Then when we say, I bind you, Satan, or I loose you from your sickness, or I loose you from that bondage, carries much more power and authority, because we know who we are, and we know who we are allied with. It's not just empty words, because we heard Kenneth Copeland or Ray McCauley or somebody say, well, I bind you, I loose you. It's not something that we heard. It's someone we know, and it is someone whom we are. Okay? I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth must already be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. So it is something that is already declared by God. So when we say binding and loosing, we can only bind what has already been bound, what the word of God declares is bound. So we simply come into agreement. I mean, that's very simple. We don't have to bind or loose. We just come into agreement by who we are, who we relate to, the kingdom that we stand for and that we represent, and we move into a situation and we just declare what our kingdom says. Okay? So if a situation is loosed according to our king's words, we just agree with that and we say it. We don't have to fast 40 days and cry and spit and carry on like we've seen some people do. We don't have to. If we know who we are and who we are bound to, who we are in covenant with, we just come into agreement. Yes, our king said, the laws of our kingdom, the laws of our land says this. So all we're doing, I'm just declaring in your life it comes true. I'm declaring it in Jesus' name. You just come into agreement. But the way we have actually lived is like, you know, the kingdom of darkness, I mean, they're on the warpath, you know. And we better bind and we better loose, you know, and it's like this heavy warfare. No. What Adam lost, Jesus gained back. He set a pattern. We call him the pattern son. He set the pattern. And so we pattern our lives after him. And he overcame evil. He overcame sin, sickness, disease, the enemy. He overcame. He is an overcomer. So, the gates of hell will not prevail. Why? Not because they're prevailing against us. You see, that's how we've read that scripture. Well, the gates of hell are coming against us. We better bind people. We better loose. You know, it's like we're under this onslaught, you know. It's not like that. We're the ones that are doing the onslaught, and they will not prevail. And as we learned last time, the gates are people. And the people are controlled and driven by spirits. We are either as people driven and controlled by the Spirit of God, or we are controlled and driven by the spirit of this world, which is spirit of Antichrist, and which is the spirit of the devil. And so we already know that we have overcome. So when we come into a situation where somebody is controlled by a certain spirit, we just manifest the kingdom of God. We just declare our words carry more power. In fact, it carries the power. Their words do not carry power. We need to change our thinking. Oh no, that Satanist over there, he's got much power. No, he doesn't. Satan's power has been stripped. You have been given in Christ all of the authority of heaven, the anointing of the Spirit of God. You just walk in there. Whatever you say is the final authority, is the final word on the subject. Doesn't matter what they say. What's that, that prophet in England? What was his name again? Graham Cook. I think it was him that said that the Satanist phoned him one night. And this guy just started cursing and swearing at him over the phone. And he just started laughing. And he said, well, do it more. Because the Bible says the more you do it, the more blessed I will be. You see, we think those words put us in bondage. How can it? The Holy Spirit is compared to oil. So if you're covered in that oil, you're pretty slippery. So if those words try and bind you up, they just slip off. That's why the Holy Spirit is compared to water and oil and the wind and fire. So it doesn't matter what comes against you. Our words and who we stand for has final authority. That kingdom has been defeated. It's not that our kingdom is even stronger, which is true. But that kingdom has been defeated. We've been brainwashed for so long, you know. Yeah, well, you know, the devil has power and etc., etc. He has stolen power. He steals power. He uses the inherent and the latent power that's within people because they created in the image of God. And the Bible says that we have the power of death and life in our tongues. So you yield yourself to the wrong spirit, guess what? Then you start declaring death. I mean, that's the only way, but oh death, where is your sting? Jesus conquered death. I mean, it doesn't matter what angle they come from. The kingdom of darkness has been defeated. Am I saying that we mustn't bind the devil? No, of course not. When the situation presents, you trust the Spirit of God within you and you declare what our kingdom says, what the word of our God says, what the word of the Lord Jesus says. You declare it into the situation. And it might not be, I bind you, Satan. We had a situation. I used to minister twice a week in Centurion on the lakefront. There's a little chapel. And people from the offices used to come in lunchtime and I used to minister. And so one day we walk in there and the pulpit had been burnt and they had done all sorts of stuff, the walls, and then burnt candles and all that stuff. And you could feel this oppression. And they were trying to bind the Word of God. So I said, okay. I said, Lord, okay. Obviously, because the people were very much influenced by that. And so I sensed this oppression in there. So I waited on God. And the Lord said, come back the next day. And then you just speak about who I am. God is love. Just speak about love. Because that spirit that came in there to disrupt the thing and to bring bondage in the situation is a spirit of hatred and fear. So I said to the Lord, what do I do? Because I've got this very message that I'm preaching. I don't want to bind and loose and stuff like it. I wanted to do that, but the Lord stopped me immediately. He said, this is not how we do this. We do it in the Spirit of Christ. So I said, okay. So I waited on God, and this is what He said to me. So the next day I got back there. We didn't bind or loose or anything. Walked in there, the same oppression was there, but the Lord had given me some verses. And I spoke about the love of God and who He is. And what Christ did for us. And as I just ministered that word, within 20 minutes, the oppression just lifted. And I did not say once, I bind you, I loose you, I do anything. Just lifted. And it never came back. They came and burnt and did again stuff there, and it didn't come back. You see, because I did it the way God wanted me to do it. Not just binding and loosing or whatever. Speaking what our God says about His kingdom and releasing that presence, bringing the light into the situation, and the light just drives out the darkness. And we had powerful meetings in that place after that, without binding once or loosing once. And that's the thing, that's what we need to understand. We saw that the word bind has covenantal meaning to it. It speaks of marriage. It speaks of that which has been bound together by the Lord. So we are in covenant with Him. So when we declare something, it must already be part of the covenant that He has made with us and with Himself. So if we bind something, it's because it's already done. Or lose something, it's because it's already done. Amen? What you bind, therefore, or declare legally binding, is what you are, represents what you are. See, when light comes out of you, when you speak life, and you speak faith, and it truly comes from a committed heart, and a heart that is sold out to Christ, that is what you are. And then release comes. Amen? Just on this topic of whether we still bind or loose, we all are aware of Psalm 149. Let's just read from verse 6. Psalm 149 from verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their throat and a two-edged sword in their hand. So what does that represent to us? It means the high praises of God and the Word of God. So in other words, when we praise God, we should speak the Word of God. It should be laced with the Word of God. It should be the Word of God coming out of us when we worship Him. To wreak vengeance upon the nations and chastisements upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. And those kings could represent demonic strongholds and so forth. But all it says here, it says, use the Word of God and praise me. We've illustrated this many times in meetings. We showed people the power of praise. And all we did, we would do the different kinds of praise. We would shout and we would clap and we would dance and we would, you know, those things. And the power of God would just come in and touch people. And it says in verse 9, to execute upon them the judgment that is written. What judgment is that? That judgment is the decrees. That which God says, it's the Word of God about a situation. It's not necessarily punishment. Sometimes that can mean punishment. But it's the same as when a judge in a court says, my judgment in this situation is this. The law says this and I agree with the law and therefore so and so. That's the judgment. It's the decree. So to execute upon them the judgment written. He, the Lord, is the honor of all His saints. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Okay. We are either bound to the church through Jesus Christ and His Christ-likeness, or we are bound to the world through the Adamic and fleshly nature. Now, we did discuss that last time. Everything, therefore, now depends on how we think, and how we think determines how we act. And that we can trace straight back to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, and many other scriptures. As a man thinks in his heart, so easy. Proverbs 23, verse 7. And then we read Acts 19, from verse 13 to 16, about the seven sons of Sceva, and they went to cast out the demons, and we know what happened then. Their identity was not found in Christ, and therefore they were not bound to Him, and that cost them dearly. They had no authority. The power of binding and loosing is therefore not in saying the words, but through the imparted authority we receive by being bound to Christ, in covenant with Christ, in agreement with Christ. And then we saw Matthew 5:14, John 8:12, and John 1:5. We are the light of the world. A light shines in the darkness. You don't find the darkness shining in the light. If I switch this light off here, it will be dark. The moment I put the light on, the darkness leaves. It's that simple. We've made it, religion has made it a difficult thing to drive out darkness. All we've got to be is Christ-like. All we've got to do is manifest Him in the earth. And the darkness will leave. Matthew 16:18, the gates of hell will not prevail. They will not prevail because we're attacking. We are on the offensive. We walk into situations. Jesus, many times, He was just going about His business, as we know. And then demons would cry out when He happened to be there. And He would just deal with the situation. He didn't go and hunt them out. He was on His assignment from heaven. And this is one of the reasons why we are not in agreement with this thing called a deliverance ministry. Yes, I believe deliverance does take place. The primary way is that God uses His Word to set us free. The Word of God, anointed by the Spirit, will bring deliverance. The truth, knowing the truth, will set you free. Do we cast out demons? Yes. Mark 16 says so. But there's a process of deliverance, if you want to call it that. If you're a believer, there's a process of sanctification that we're busy with. But there is no such thing as a deliverance ministry. If somebody comes to you and says, well, I have a deliverance ministry, and that's what we do. We go into houses and clean them when we do stuff and all that kind of thing. Run as far as you can from those people. I'm serious. We've seen so many of these people with a deliverance ministry. That's what they do. We don't see them glorifying Christ. We don't see them manifesting the light of God. We don't see them telling of the beauties of Jesus Christ. And just by them sharing about Jesus, then things just happen. That's what's happened to us. Many times we've ministered. We've ministered in places with serious oppression. And all I've done, I've just shared the Word of God. In the middle of Hillborough, Jesus walked into one of our meetings and He came and sat in front on the right-hand side facing me. He came and somebody saw Him sitting there and He was listening to what I had to say. And in that very same meeting, without me touching people, He just came and He started setting people free. There were too many needs. This tent was full of people. I mean, Annika, how many were there? I don't know, 1,500 people. I mean, they were sitting outside the tent. There was just not enough time and place. There was not enough space for us to pray for everyone. All I did is just exalted Jesus and spoke about Him and what His Word said and how fantastic He is and so on. And He thought it worthy to come and listen to His own Word. So I was blessed by that. Some people in the audience saw Him walk in. He walked in from the east. From the eastern side, and He came and sat down in the front. And people got set free. They got loosed from stuff. People that had the little bands, you know, the witch doctor stuff around their arms. They got set free. Nobody prayed for them. They just got set free. Now, I think that's a good way to do it. The Lord Himself comes in. There are many situations like that. We had a situation in Winterfell. I had prepared the night before, and then Jesus came and stood next to me. He didn't say much to me, but I knew that, okay, if He's standing next to me, He's interested in what I have to say. I was going to minister on faith. I'll never forget that. But as we walked in there, the Lord gave me a prophetic song. I just sang it out. And it was about Him. And the whole place went down. I closed my eyes. I started singing. I had not preached or anything. I just started singing. The whole place went down. I just heard this commotion. So I just kept my eyes closed. And I opened my eyes and the whole place was flat. I was standing, Annika was standing, and the pastor was standing. He was walking in between. And there were people that they had prayed for years and years and years and years. They could not get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They couldn't get them free. That day, Jesus Himself just came and just did it. And all I did, I just did what he told me to do. Yes, I did prepare a message on faith, and the presence of God was on that, and obviously it was for another time. But he came in there and he did it. And again, some of the people that were lying on the ground, they said that as I was singing, the Shekinah glory of God came as a cloud from behind me, and it just covered the place on the inside, and then God just touched them. Jesus came in and he set them free himself. I mean, what a job. Can't get easier than that. And a revival broke out in that place. I mean, they got a bigger building and they started praying from house to house. That pastor's wife at one time, she was not really interested in prayer and stuff. She never came to the prayer meetings that we had there. After that, she started organizing house-to-house prayer meetings. They were starting to have little meetings in the streets. Just because I was obedient. It's not because I was so anointed. I just did what God told me to do. I allied myself with heaven. I was bound to heaven. Because I was bound to heaven and the freedom that heaven provides for me and manifested in me, all I did, I just opened my mouth and that freedom came. Came to the people. Even though that song only lasted 5 or 10 minutes because I sang in tongues and then I interpreted, that service lasted 5 or 6 hours. That's manifesting the presence of God. The gates of Hades or the gates of hell cannot prevail. That day they did not prevail. Many other times. And I'm sure all of you can relate to some time and place where that was true in your life. But we can walk in that. We can walk in that all the time. Whoever dictates and controls our thinking influences the way we think about things. And this directly influences the way we act and try to influence the people around us, including our circumstances. So we've seen that people are gates and we should be the windows of heaven, through which the power of God comes and the blessing of God comes. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So who's supposed to do the will of God? Thy will be done. How does it come? Through us. Isaiah 59:19, we read, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You are the floodgates. You and I are the floodgates through which that standard comes, through which the presence of God comes. You see, our direction as the church and the body of Christ, we are being challenged in this. We've kind of retreated because the gates of hell prevailed. That's how our mindset has been. So our direction has been sort of slowly backwards. But the gates of hell cannot prevail against us because we are on the offensive. So instead of retreating, we are moving forward. So we are being challenged. Are we in agreement with God, who says that we have already overcome? In Christ, we've already overcome. That victory that Jesus wrought on the cross, on Calvary, he either succeeded or he didn't. Sometimes we live like, you know, it wasn't really a victory. Yeah, no, it's good for him and it's good for the 12 disciples, but us, okay? We are that company that manifests that breakthrough. Jesus broke through all the barriers when he laid his life down, shed his blood on the cross, died, but then rose again and was resurrected. He broke all the barriers, spiritual, body, relational, financial, whatever barriers you can think of. He broke all of those barriers. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We are a people of breakthrough. You see, when we happen to be on the scene, when we walk into a situation, it doesn't matter whether Derek is sitting there programming for a client and he comes to a situation where it's difficult. He is part of the breakthrough company of God that can find that answer and break through where other people can't. Sasha and Derek went out today to see a client. And the client was very blessed, as far as I understand. He was very impressed with what they were doing. Already that is proof that when we come into a situation, it doesn't matter what it is, whether you're writing computer code or whatever it is, whether you serve in a restaurant, whatever it is, if you're a husband or a wife or a mommy or a daddy, doesn't matter what you are, you represent that breakthrough. That brings a totally different light to binding and loosing. Okay. Acts 10:38. Let's read from 37. The same message which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism preached by John. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good and in particular curing all that were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. So is God with you? Right. So I can read you. How God anointed and consecrated. Who shall we pick? Skulk of Alberton. With the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How Skulk of Alberton went about doing good and in particular curing all that were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with Skulk. You can put your own name in there. You see, we think, well, gee. But the Bible says that Jesus is our older brother. He's not only our Lord, but he's our older brother. But then we are brothers. We're from the same household. We have the same daddy. And the blessing that comes from the dad is then on the sons, isn't it? Jesus was the firstborn of many sons. And we all have the same inheritance. Right, so then you can walk in the same anointing, same authority, same power. But are you allied? Are you bound to him? Is your mind so renewed that that's the way you think? It's not them against us and we defending. No. They've been defeated and we're just taking over. Their gates, their people, the spirits that are behind those people out there cannot prevail. We just walk in and we declare the victory. We just bring the breakthrough into a situation. Micah 2:13. The breaker. And I shared last time, to break out, to go up and to increase. The breaker or the Messiah. You see the breaker in that there's written with a capital B. So it represents a Messiah. The breaker will go up before them. So he has already gone up before us. They will break through, pass in through the gate and go out through it. And their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. He's already done the job. We just follow after him. We're part of that breaker group of people that follows him. 1 Chronicles 14:11. 1 Chronicles 14:11. So Israel came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote the Philistines there. Then David said, God has broken my enemies by my hand, like the bursting forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. The Lord of breaking through. So your Lord is the Lord of breaking through. So you are one of his sons of the breaking through. And that's the mentality we should have. It doesn't matter what situation you face, whether it is, most of us are either own our own business or we are in work. I mean, how many times have you seen the people around you, the people that are in the world, they have this mental block when a situation comes up and they just give up. I've seen people resign from their jobs because the pressure gets so terrible. They can't handle it. They can't believe God. They don't have that dimension where they can believe God for the breakthrough, where they can believe God for the answer. Just because they're there, there should be an answer. When we're there, there should be an answer. There should always be a more clever, an easier, more effective way of doing things. Psalm 110, verse 3. Bringing the message of the kingdom and manifesting the kingdom of God should be the same. We just manifest the kingdom. But it depends on who we are. You see, if we say on a Sunday, those that go to church on Sunday, if they're kingdom-minded on Sunday, but on Monday morning they're just the same as everyone else, you are not bound to Christ in that way. If you're in covenant with Christ, you're the same on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right through the week. You're always the same. You're the same behind closed doors. You're the same person. You're bound to Christ. You've laid your life down. Psalm 110, verse 3. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness and in holy array, out of the womb of the morning. To you will spring forth young men who are as the dew. We are talking about that we are in the third day. We have been birthed out of the womb of the Spirit into the third day. So this is what it's talking about. To you will spring forth young men who are as the dew. What does dew do? Brings refreshing. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power. Are you here willingly offering yourself in that day of power? This is the day of His power. In the beauty of holiness and in holy array, out of the womb of the morning. We are coming out of the womb. This is where we are at. We are being birthed into that third day. It's a day of breakthrough. It's a day of release. We're coming out of that womb. Galatians 4. I mean, we've all experienced it the last few years. It's like we've been in travail. It's like we've battled within ourselves. Like we haven't been able to figure out what's going on with ourselves. And it's typically like a woman that is pregnant. She can't sit up properly. She can't lie down. She doesn't know what to do with herself. And the food's not nice today. And tomorrow the food's fine. And, you know, so it goes on. That's how we've been. That's how we've all felt. There's not one in this room that hasn't been like that. Oh Lord, where are you? Where are you? And then he comes and he confirms. He says, now I'm with you. But why does it feel like this, Lord? Because this is where we're at. We, those breakthrough people that he's busy bringing in. Even in the natural, a baby that's born by cesarean section, there's a total difference. You can put two children born on the same day, same sex, everything, you put them together. If the one is born by cesarean section and the one is born by a normal birth, the one that is born by cesarean section, they normally are more sickly, they suffer more from rejection, they demand more attention, etc. We've seen that over and over. Medically, they've proven that because the baby did not struggle to come through. And I'm not saying that they can't get healed. My one daughter was born that way. And up until she was in 15, 16, 17 years, she would be around me. She would be clinging on me all the time. Tell me you love me. Tell me you love me. While the others that were born normally, they never had that problem. So in the natural, it's true. How much more in the spiritual? We have to struggle to be born. And that's why we have to prevail, and that's why we have to trust God and be faithful and just hold on to His Word and just look towards Him. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who are bent on being under law, will you listen to what the law really says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid and one by the free woman. But whereas the child of the slave woman was born according to the flesh and had an ordinary birth, the son of the free woman was born in fulfillment of the promise. You see, you are born in fulfillment of the promise. Now, all this is an allegory. These two women represent two covenants. One covenant originated from Mount Sinai, where the law was given it, and bears children destined for slavery. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar is and stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia, and she corresponds to and belongs in the same category with the present Jerusalem, for she is in bondage together with her children. But the Jerusalem above, the Messianic kingdom of God, is free, and she is our mother. For it is written in the scriptures, "Rejoice, O barren woman, who has not given birth to children. Break forth into a joyful shout." You and I can break forth into a joyful shout. "You who are not feeling birth pangs, for the desolate woman has many more children than she who has a husband. But we, brethren, are children, not by physical descent, as was Ishmael, but like Isaac, born in virtue of promise. Yet, just as at that time the child of ordinary birth, born according to the flesh, despised and persecuted him who was born remarkably, according to the promise and the working of the Holy Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the scripture say? Cast out and send away the slave woman and her son, for never shall the son of the slave woman be heir and share the inheritance with the son of the free woman. So, brethren, we who are born again are not children of a slave woman, the natural, but of the free, the supernatural." So that which is remaining in our hearts and our minds of that slave mentality, send it away. Get rid of it. Because we are free. Just go and read it a couple of times. Go think about those scriptures. I'm just superficially going through that. What does this have to do with what I'm ministering on? It's a mindset. This whole binding and loosing thing. It's more than just words. Yes, words will come. But words will come in line. Words and actions, prophetic actions or prophetic words will come in line with heaven. And you will just manifest. You are the floodgate that manifests heaven. Psalm 30, verse 5. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. "For his anger is but for a moment." And his anger, God's anger, was taken out on Jesus. Anger for sin and all those things. "For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime, or in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." We are in that morning of birthing. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. You see, we don't have to live in the hope, tomorrow is going to be a better day, next year is going to be better. It is now. It is that morning. It's the third day. It's the morning of the third day. Hope deferred, or scattered, or prolonged, or even removed. That's what the word deferred means. Makes the heart sick. And that's kind of how we've been. Oh, you know, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? But we are now there. So your hope has become reality. And your walk with Christ should become easier. It's your lifestyle. It's who you are. That brings that release. We are bound to Christ and his finished work. We are bound to that finished work. And so we can manifest that finished work. We have to lead the way. We have to drive out darkness and release his kingdom by manifesting the character and the light of Christ. In every area where we are not bound to him, we need to be bound to him and the most holy place. And take the life we receive from the holy place and manifest it in the earth. Many believers are still living first day, in other words, outer court. You know, repentance, repentance. And I'm not saying we shouldn't repent. If there's something wrong, we repent. We keep a clean slate of with God. But 1 John 1:9 says that when we walk in the light, If you read all the verses there, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus continuously cleanses us. That's where we should be. Not continuously repenting. We should walk in the light. Our hearts should be towards Him. And even when we do something that is not in line with His will, which is obviously sin then, and we do not know that, then the blood of Jesus continuously washes us clean. And what will happen as we grow in our walk, He will show us these things up, and then we just deal with them as they come. But instead of a sin consciousness all the time, we should have a righteousness consciousness. You see, we're always looking, well, you know, I'm doing this wrong, and I'm doing that wrong, and I'm doing... No, we are in a dispensation of grace. So we walk in the grace. And that grace, Paul says, is not a license to sin now. You do what is right. And you walk in that. And as you walk in that, you become more righteousness conscious. Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Second Corinthians 3, verse 13 to 18. Remember, it speaks there of the veil that was over the faces, or over the face of Moses. Remember, he covered his face with a veil. But we have no veil over our face. And because we are filled with God, and with the glory of God, just like the breakthrough rises out and up from us, the glory rises up and out from us. And the people want that. If it's the true glory of God, they will want that. It's only the religious that don't want it. Look at the people that follow Jesus around. It's the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were persecuting Him. But the people out there who needed the physician, people are well, remember? The people that are well don't need a doctor, Jesus said. It's those that are not well. Those that are not well will see the glory of God rising up and out of you, and they will come to you. But this is the time where it should happen more and more and more and more. But why it doesn't happen is because of our thinking. Well, you know, that's the world. And the church has taught us that, you know, they don't want us. The hungry and the needy want us. Those that are self-sufficient, self-righteous, religious, they don't want you. But the ones that are hungry, and I believe there are many more of those than what there are these religious types, self-sufficient, self-righteous people. Go for them. Why go for the ones that don't want you? Go for the ones that need us. We must agree in the earth with what has already been bound covenantally in the heavens. We must agree with God and His good report. The New Testament is a good report. Would you agree with that? Right, it's a good report. Amos 3 verse 3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" So let's agree with God so we can walk together with Him. Proverbs 15 verse 30. "The light in the eyes of him whose heart is joyful rejoices the heart of others, and good news nourishes the bones." That's what we are. We are the good news. There is a light in our eyes that will rejoice others. We must just believe that we are the light of the world, that we have the light of the world within us. "The light of the eyes of him whose heart is joyful rejoices the heart of others." How many times have you come into the presence of a Christian that maybe is a little bit down or something? And before long then they say, "Oh, you're a Christian? Are you a Christian?" Then you say, "Yeah." And before long you start ministering to them because the joy in your heart ministers to them. How much more people in the world? I mean, I've seen it time and time and time and time again. You just wait on God. You don't even have to push the issue. It'll come. The Spirit of God will direct the conversation, and before you know it. I used to be in the hairdressing trade, as you know. It's after I was in the Air Force as a pilot. And a lot of the hairdressers are strange people. Any hairdressers listening to this? God loves you and I still love you. But a lot of them seem to, you know, they get into astrology and all of those kind of things. And so many times, you know, I'd walk in and I'd say, how are you this morning? No, my stars told me this and this and this and that. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And the next thing is, so, Jan, what star sign are you? They only caught me out with that once. Thereafter, it was very easy. I'm born on the under the sign of the white horse, man. Why are you into this Chinese stuff or something? I said, no, I'm into this revelation stuff. And quickly they'll apologize. Well, you know, son, I didn't mean that. I've actually backslidden. And I said, no, that's okay. You're forgiven. You just declared the forgiveness of God. And before you know it, you're ministering to these people. Many times, they go and cut their client's hair and do the hair, and they say, no, man, come and stand me here. And then they say to the client, this guy's going to preach to us, and you listen. Yeah. And the client has to listen, and before long, the client starts to ask questions. I mean, it happens so many times. We must just be available. We must actually believe who God believes and knows that we are, and it'll just happen. Doesn't have to be here, ministry, that I'm what I'm doing now. I'm telling you how it should be out there. I'm trying to be practical. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, who has believed our message of that which was revealed to us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? To us. And so we can reveal the message to the world. And the arm of the Lord, it normally speaks of the right hand of God. The right hand of God, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But the right hand of God represents the deliverance of God because Christ is our deliverer. Amen. So who are we? We represent that in the earth. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. Remember, I'm talking the way that we think, the way we are bound to Christ in our thoughts and in our hearts. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. You know, sometimes we start changing our minds according to the way that the world thinks. We should walk in and discern that pattern of thinking that they have and say, no, do you really believe it's like that? Or would you like it to be better than that? Yeah, but I don't think it can ever get better. Well, I can tell you today that it can be better. And you start speaking into that situation. You start declaring. You say, by tomorrow, this will change. Puts you on the line as well. But the thing is, if you're bound to Christ, then it'll come to pass. You're manifesting the kingdom of God. Just step out and do it. In the third day, we are not binding the enemy, but rather with our life and with our lips, we are binding ourselves to the person and work of Christ. So it's a good thing for us to confess the word of God, to declare the word of God over ourselves, and to renew our minds. Not just to read scripture, but to take the scripture and speak it to ourselves, to meditate upon it. We need to meditate. And as we do that, we bind ourselves to His person and to His work, to His finished work. By not being in agreement with Him, we tear ourselves loose from His loving embrace. It's pretty straightforward. In His loving embrace, we are filled with His light and His glory, and it is His presence that nullifies the works of the enemy. God has bound Himself to us. In Genesis 50 verse 24, it says that Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which He swore to to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That word swore, which is to swear, which is the Hebrew word shabah. It's a word which means to be complete. God is complete within Himself. But also, it is used, and I've shared this with you before, to seven oneself. S-E-V-E-N, seven, seven. That is to swear or to declare seven times. So God has sevened Himself to us. It's just as good as He said, I bind myself to you in covenant, seven times over. It's to make an oath, obviously. What is this saying? What does it mean to us? It means that God has sevened Himself to us. It is as good as if God spoke out that oath seven times. Now, how do we apply this in our lives? And in the areas where we find ourselves, whether it's business, ministry, family, wherever it is. Very simple. We bind ourselves. We seven ourselves to all that which is binding in Christ. That's why we say it's important that we listen to the Word of God. That's why we can record it nowadays. You can listen to it over and over, but you come into agreement by speaking it. You speak it, and the more you speak it, faith arises in your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but you seven yourself to that, and you renew your mind to that. Eventually, that's what you think. That is what you become. You don't think the old way anymore. We cannot say we are walking with the Lord if we don't agree with what He says. This means that we must lay down our own agendas and programs. It means we implicitly obey Him and do what He tells us to do. But when we get to that place, that's the natural outflow of who we are. We don't think that other way anymore. This is not our second nature. This has become our first nature. We are total slaves to this. We don't know the other way anymore. The little voice that speaks on the inside doesn't argue anymore. The little voice that speaks on the inside is a voice of righteousness. There's not this thing going on the inside. Well, should I do this? Should I? No. You become single-minded. You're not dualistic in your thinking anymore. It's Christ is all and in all, and it's in you. This means that you agree with God about yourself, your family, your ministry, the fellowship that you associate with in Christ, your country, and the nations. So it doesn't matter what they say, what the politicians say, or whoever's out there about South Africa, for instance. We say what God says. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. In Luke 1, verse 37 to 38, remember, the angel spoke to Mary about Jesus, that she was pregnant. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. We should say the same. Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. We come into agreement. She just accepted that and she became pregnant. You and I will become pregnant with the Son of God in that sense, where we will manifest Him. We will be conformed to His image. We will become Christ-like. 1 Samuel 25:29, and I'm just about done.1 Samuel 25:29. Though man be risen up to pursue you and to seek your life, yet the life of my Lord shall be bound in the living bundle with the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the center of a sling. But focus on that piece. Yet the life of my Lord shall be bound in the living bundle with the Lord your God. I'm sure if we don't study that, that's going to be powerful. But yet the life of my Lord shall be bound in the living bundle with the Lord your God. We are bound in that living bundle with Him. Mary simply accepted God's word about her life and acted accordingly. She was bound in that life of God. That word was life unto her. It was real unto her. It was so real that she gave birth to the Son of God. She changed her thinking about herself immediately, and her actions followed suit. She didn't argue. She just said. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." That's what we need to do. That's it. Cuts out anything else. Not argue, well, maybe this, you know, maybe, well, you know. It's imperative for us that we do the same. We start doing this. This thing about binding and loosing the enemy becomes an easy thing. Because we just walk in it. We just walk in that freedom. If you're walking in the will of God, the road before you will be made plain. The high places will be brought low. The low places will be filled up. Make straight the way of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Where's the way of the Lord? First, it's the way of the Lord into your own heart, even as a believer. Make straight the way of the Lord into your heart. And when He comes and lives and manifests in you, you walk and the straight way is straight before you. And you make the way straight for other people that have lost their way, that have fallen off the road. Father, we thank You that in Christ we are bound to You. And tonight, Lord, we say, let it be unto us according to Your word. And we agree with Your word. Spirit of God, we thank You that You bring Your word to our remembrance. Thank You that as we think upon it, as we meditate upon it, as we speak it, as we declare it, as we live it, we are bound more and more through Christ. And we become that life of Christ in the earth. And wherever we go, liberty and freedom comes because of Christ. We thank You that Christ increases in us so that we may decrease. He becomes more and we become less. He is our all and in all. And so, Jesus, we submit to You. We yield ourselves completely to You. And we agree with Your word. Whatever is bound in heaven, we declare and we live as if it is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed in heaven, we declare and we live as if it is loosed in the earth. And we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.